book of Romans, chapter number 8. Continuing this morning on the Christian's inheritance and reward. Answer key. Alright, Romans chapter 8, continuing talking about some opportunities we have to be able to get some rewards and earn an inheritance and reigning with Christ. And we started talking a couple weeks ago on suffering for Christ. And so we're going to pick back up on that one today and go over some more things here. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 16. Romans chapter 8, verse number 16. Alright, the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And that's what we're talking about. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so we're talking about suffering for Christ. And that word suffer is defined in the dictionary as to feel or bear what is painful, disagreeable, or distressing, either to the body or mind, to endure inconvenient things, to sink under them. And so he tells us here that if we would just suffer with him, it doesn't say for him right there, it says suffer with him, that we can get an opportunity to reign with Him. Suffering for Jesus Christ seems like here in America the last few years, maybe since I was younger, hasn't seemed like that big of a deal. I mean, maybe somebody at work makes fun of you being a Christian, or maybe somebody ridicules, or family, or whatever the case might be. And, you know, that's about the extent of what you feel like the suffering is. You hear of these missionaries in these other countries and them actually having to physically and mentally suffer for being a Christian and trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's, I believe, coming a time in our country where we're going to have to start suffering for Him a little more. There's going to be things, and you say, well, I want the opportunity to rule and reign with Him. You're about to get it, I think, here real soon. And so as we're seeing all these things take place, we have a great opportunity as a child of God to be able to stand for Him. And Paul told the churches over and over again in his writings, and he told us to a couple different things. One was to stand. He's continually telling us to stand. Stand for God. Stand for what's right. And he's also telling them to wake up. And I believe we're living in a day today where Christians need to wake up and they need to stand. Take a stand. And we'll get an opportunity to be able to do that for Him. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary for us. I mean, He took all the sins and He took all the shame. When He was in His human body, He took all that on. And He never quit. He didn't quit on us. And we should definitely not quit on Him. We're to follow His example that He left before us. And we can earn this reward of the inheritance. We often wonder sometimes why people that love God, it seems like they have to suffer through some of the things they go through. Especially when you think about missionaries and people that leave their family and their grandkids and they go to another foreign field. And man, there's some, Brother Gerard is over there right now, and because of all this COVID stuff that happened, he couldn't leave because there was fear of him not being able to get out, but also not being able to get back in. And that's where God called him. And one of his children got married and he wasn't even able to be there. I mean, he's had multiple grandchildren born that he's never even met. And you say, well, man, that doesn't seem fair. I mean, but it'll be worth it one day. Man. And he's having to suffer some things that most people wouldn't be willing to do because of what God called him to do. And so we wonder sometimes the people that love God and they serve Him, and they have to suffer through things sometimes. But, you know, God's got a reason for it. But, man, it's going to be worth it all. Paul said right there that he reckons that the suffering of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so one day when we're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, everything and anything we ever had to go through will be worth it all. But I really believe that as we get closer to the end of this thing, we're in the last days, that we are going to have to start suffering some things for Christ. I mean, I believe it. I know we've had this virus thing that's been running through the whole country. And I know of good churches that shut down once and now they're having to shut down again. And because the sickness is in the church. And, you know, some people want to criticize them for what they're having to do. But, man, half the church is sick and people are dying. And their pastors are trying to figure out what to do. And but then there's some that say, we're not closing down anything. We're going to keep going. You say, which one's right? I don't know. They're both right. They're both wrong. I don't know. I mean, that's between them and the Lord. But there's a lot of people having to make decisions right now. There's churches in California having to make decisions whether or not they're going to have church. And that thing's going to start sweeping across the country. And we're going to have to make a decision one day, even right here. And I believe that. And so we're starting to see a separation of those that are real. I mean, the real Christians, the ones that are serving God no matter what, versus the ones that are just playing games. The ones where church is just, if we can make it or if we can do it. And we're starting to see such a hard separation that those that are not serious about it, they're going to have a hard time getting back in. Because it's not going to get any better.
Amen.
And as the things happen in our government and with the sickness and all these things, we're seeing that line get thicker and thicker. And those that are not serious about trusting the Lord, it's going to be harder for them to want to come to church. It's going to be harder for them to want to serve the Lord. And I do believe that the time is coming very soon where it is going to be very difficult to be named a Christian. So what do you mean by that? I'm saying if you go into your place of employment and you say, I am a Bible-believing Christian, that you will be looked over for promotions. You'll be looked over. I mean, I think that's coming. In the past, it used to be if you were a Christian and you did right and showed up to work on time, you'd move up the corporate ladder and all these things. And you know, because just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel and all them over there, that they were fairer than everybody else and they got all these positions because they were wiser and they turned out better. But now we're living in such a day where it is a shameful thing for you to be a Christian.
Amen.
And I believe that. I believe we're about to see that. And so for you to say, I am a child of God, I'm a Christian, it's going to start hurting you even in the workplace.
Amen.
Because just the fact that you say you believe the Bible, this book right here, as the Word of God, then you're labeled as having hate speech.
Yeah.
You're labeled as that automatically. And so we're starting to see these things. And I believe that this is a very timely study when it comes to ruling and reigning with Christ. Look with me in Acts chapter 26, verse 23. Acts chapter 26, verse 23. We're living in a day now where even in an independent Baptist church, if you preach hard on sin, I mean, even in an independent Baptist church, they believe the Bible, you're labeled as being hateful.
Yeah.
You're labeled as being unkind or whatever the case might be. I mean, and it's sad, but we're starting to see that now. I mean, churches that you thought you could stand up and preach truth, you're now being labeled as being unkind. You know what? That's the mentality of the world. That's the mentality of the world. Acts chapter 26, verse number 23. Acts 26, 23, the Bible says that Christ should suffer and that He should be the first and should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ suffered in His human body while He was here on this earth. We have the example of Him suffering for us. And man, we see all the things that He went through. And as I've said before, I mean, nobody threw rocks at us coming here this morning. But there was followers of Christ and Christ Himself he was crucified and he was spit upon and his beard plucked out. And we haven't seen any of those things here in this church, but we're starting to see it in our country. I mean, there's people getting beat up.
Yes.
I mean, and you say, well, are they all Christians or are they just, you know, make America great again? I mean, who in the world would have ever thought that someone would get beat up for wearing something that says, make America great again? Amen? But we're seeing that, and that's opening the door to where if somebody says Jesus Christ is the way, Amen. Or sodomy is a sin, or whatever, that you could literally get beat up in public over it. That's what happened to these disciples, man. Some of these folks, they got Stephen was stoned, full of the Holy Ghost of God. He was stoned. He was beat upon. They gnashed on him with their teeth. And you say, well, how in the world can somebody do that? Man, how in the world can we, what's going on right now? I mean, it's human nature. It's wicked. And so Jesus suffered while he was here on this earth. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Go back with me. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 15 through 16. Acts 9, 15 through 16. Brother Jeff, I can start printing off my notes for him if you remind me. I'll try to do that. I think that'll help out. I appreciate you doing that. But I could try to do that. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 through 16. All right. This is right after the Apostle Paul was saved there on the road to Damascus. And look what it says here. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him, talking about Paul, how great things he must what?
Suffer
for my name's sake. If you study the Apostle Paul, he suffered for just trying to get the gospel to everybody.
Right.
And he counted it but a light thing. I mean, all the beatings and all the stripes that he received and the shipwreck and the hungering and all the things, the imprisonment that he went through. And he did it all for just because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered for him. Can you imagine that we're going to have to stand with some of these guys? All right. Acts chapter 5. I'm just giving you a few more verses here and then I want to give you an illustration. I got a handout I'm going to give everybody. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 40 through 42. So Jesus Christ suffered during his earthly ministry. Paul suffered during his ministry. The early Christians suffered during their ministry. All right, Acts chapter 5 and verse number 40. Acts 5:40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And he said, what did they do? Did they quit preaching? Did they go hide in a cave like all those prophets back there when Ahab and Jezebel was looking for them? Says, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. These are things that I and maybe some of the older Christians in here have maybe seen or heard some more things, and especially in other countries. But these are things that I've only ever read about and heard stories about. But I believe they're coming. I really do. And we have all these examples of these that suffered for Christ. And they're, yes, sir, Brother Jeff.
I remember Dr. Upton telling me about this word, counsel. He said, anytime you see that in the Bible, it's usually bad news.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
It's usually what? Bad news.
When you see counsel, that's right.
They're plotting to do away with Jesus, basically.
Yep, it's bad. It's bad in society and bad in the church, too. All right. Philippians chapter 1. I'm just trying to show you that the Christ suffered, Paul suffered, the early Christians suffered. And why did they suffer? Because they were just trying to tell people about a Savior. They were just trying to tell people that hey, you're sinful and Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He wants to take you to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. Repent from your sin and get saved. I mean, there's a better life. And in return, they were beaten. All right, and all Christians are appointed to some suffering. Now, up until now, it's probably been some suffering. And if you're saved and you're bold and you're willing to stand for Christ, you're going to put up with some ridicule. ridicule. You're gonna put up with things. I remember when Sarah and I first got married, I was working as an electrician, and there was guys that I worked with that, man, they thought it was so funny to try to get me to cuss or to try to get me to listen to a dirty joke. And they thought it was funny. And you know, as a 19 or 20 year old young man, I mean, just barely out of teenage years, that was a big deal to me. Amen. Just trying to do right and stand up. And, you know, the nerves kind of running through your body. And the Holy Spirit gives you strength to say, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not going to be here around this. I mean, walking into my boss's office and having to say, hey, I'm not riding with this guy anymore because he's, you know, smoking dope on the job. And I'm not going to be in there with him. I'm a Christian. I don't even want to be seen around that stuff. And my boss knew that he was doing it and didn't care. Come to find out, I mean, that they had me driving the truck. So I'm like, man, I'm 19 years old and I'm running a company truck. Well, you know why I was? Because I was the only one with a clean license.
Yeah.
And I was running this 40-year-old guy around that was a bum smoking pot all the time, but he knew what he was doing, wiring the house. I hope he didn't wire yours. But I was the one driving. I thought, man, you know, I'm somebody. I get to drive. Well, no, I was the only one with a clean license. And so, but I went in there one day and said, I'm not riding with them no more. And he's like, well, you're not working here no more. I said, well, that's fine. He goes, no, we need you. And he gave me somebody else to drive around. Come to find out, that guy didn't have a clean license either. And I don't know what he was doing, but he wasn't doing it on the job as far as I knew. So, but during that time, I thought, well, that was a big deal. And that's, you know, suffering for Christ. And you could say that that is in a manner. But I think what we're seeing coming is going to be far worse. And some of you might have had to put up with some suffering from your family and different things because of serving Christ. I've heard stories of my dad when he got called to preach and those things. And I'm thankful I really don't have to deal with that. But there's some that do. There's some that have to put up with it in a great way. All right, look here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 29. Philippians chapter 1. The Bible told us that we would have to suffer for Him. And what I'm getting at with all this, if we would just suffer with Christ and stand for Him and do what's right, He's going to reward you for it. And you're going to be much better off doing it anyway, even if there was no reward. You'd be all better off with the blessings of God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 29. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Every child of God is going to be appointed to some suffering. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Just a couple more verses here, and then I got an illustration I want to give you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Yes. Those that allow the smallest thing to keep them out of church. When this thing gets turned up, we won't see them again. We won't see them. There's already some that right now will not be seen back in a church again all across the country.
Yeah.
I mean, the pastors that I've talked to said, how did y'all do through all this? Some said, hey, we picked up a few families. And it might have been because their doors were open and that there was a place for them to come. And there's some that says, hey, we've seen some people get saved. People that were looking for, I mean, they got worried and were looking for truth and they found it in the Lord Jesus Christ. But almost every pastor I've talked to would tell me there's one or two families that they say we've lost them. What does that mean? They're not coming back. They're not going to leave their house until there's a vaccine, or they're not going to leave their house until, I mean, they get to the point. I understand there's when people die. I'm not trying to take, I mean, I was in the hospital. I was in there with pneumonia, amen, not the COVID. But I understand all that stuff, but I'm telling you that all this is going to get worse. If they can come up with a man-made virus like this and do what they did to this country, you can only imagine what they can come up with whenever they want.
Right.
And there's people worried about getting chipped. That I don't want a chip. I mean, you're walking around with a chip everywhere you go. They know everything you say. They know everything you buy. They know everything you look at. They know where you're at. They know who you're talking to. There's an app on your iPhone that you need to go turn off if you have it that tracks your location. And if somebody had COVID near where you were, it's going to let you know so you can go quarantine. If you have an iPhone, it's on your iPhone. It's in the settings, the latest update. It's in there. And if you were near somebody Brother Hodge, if I went to a restaurant and somebody there had COVID and they found out about it, they could alert my phone because they said, Andrew McAfee, you were in this restaurant on this day and somebody had COVID there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm already chipped.
Yeah.
It's just not in me.
What do you call it?
I'll look in the settings when we get done. You just go look in your settings. It says COVID something, but you can turn it off supposedly. But it's probably not turned off.
I think Android
has it. It's not.
It's just all your turn off the notifications.
Yeah. They still know where I'm at.
It's an Android phone stick.
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
Andrew,
go ahead.
Real quick, on mine, they're so old. They send me an email every month, and it tells every place that I visited. And it'll say how many miles I drove, how long I was in the car.
Yeah.
It tells, and I can go back and it'll say look at your timeline for 4 years. I can go 4 years back and it'll show me traveling where I stopped. I come out of California driving to Texas and it'll show me every place I stopped. It'll tell me the name of the restaurant that I ate at and it tells me every stop I made,
yeah,
how many miles I drove. And I mean, they've got all that. I've got an Android. It tells me and it's amazing for me to go back and look. I can go back 5, 6, 7 years, and it tells me. And every month, it'll send me an update every month telling me, you visited this many new places. You went to Warrior, Alabama, and I can bring that up.
Yeah.
And it will tell me every place that I visited.
Yeah. I mean, we're already chipped.
Just mention an off-the-wall product and see how many ads you get for it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was telling Brother Bowen, we were discussing things that we would like to get for our children for Christmas. We just talked about them. And as soon as I pulled up my computer, those advertisements were all over the screen. All we did was talk about it. She didn't look it up and I didn't look it up.
Right.
I mean, so if they know that and they know we're going to church.
Yeah.
And if we ever had to go back to home church for some reason, you'd have to leave all your phones at home. But then you'd have to get a car that don't have a computer in it, too.
Horse
and buggy.
Horse and buggy.
Get on the four-wheeler.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I mean, all this time has gone by, and we just, you know, there's been a plan this whole time. And I'm getting to that. I got to.
You don't want to get anything conspiracy or anything crazy.
Oh, I am.
You've heard of that, Edward. You heard of Edward Snowden, the guy that, quite a few years ago, and I'm not going to go down that road or whatever, but I just want to say this. When he met with people that it meant something, he would turn the phone off if your battery wouldn't come out. If the battery would come out, he would take the battery out and put the phones in the microwave and close the door.
Yeah, before you talked to him.
Before he would say anything. And this guy was high up in the intelligence community. He knew what was going on. I had a preacher tell me 20-something years ago, and I don't know if I believe it, but he's a pastor of a church, David Peacock, said if you had cable TV 20 years ago and you were watching TV, we could watch you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's what he said. And that's before, I was like, he's like,
oh, they definitely can now.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there's hackers that'll get on there, and if they can... If your computer's turned on or your TV, it don't even have to be on, I don't think. They could watch through the camera on it.
Right.
So.
Crazy.
I know at our work, they at any time they want to, the IT department can watch you while you're working. I mean, they can turn the camera on. Also, most people in our work put stickers over the camera thing. I mean, because they can watch you. They can just turn it on. And you don't even know they're doing it. But, all right, for 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Look what it says. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Christ suffered. He said, you better just arm yourself because you're going to have to suffer as well. You might as well just arm yourself and have this mind that was in Christ Jesus. What was the mind? Christ had us on his mind. He had souls on his mind. And we're getting to a time now where we don't know, you know, they're talking about this vaccine having a chip in it and all these kind of things. And there's people saying that they will not take it. And I understand all that. I'm saved. I believe that we're in the dispensation of grace and I'm saved. And there's missionaries that if they don't take that, they cannot go back to the field where they're going.
Yeah.
And I've heard of missionaries going to leper colonies and going into sick places where they knew for 100% sure they were going to die, but they went anyway
yeah.
to try to win some souls. All right, and I know right now there's missionaries, there's countries. Israel's already come out and said you cannot come into the country unless you've been vaccinated. So how do you know? All you got to do is walk past the scanner. That's all you got to do. They know. You don't even have to say nothing. You don't have to. I mean, you'll just have to walk past something, and they'll know if you've been vaccinated or not. And so, but they've already said that. So what about all the missionaries? There's some that have said, "Hey, stick it in me. I got to get back to my people. I got to win them to the Lord."
Yeah.
Amen. You say they're going to lose their salvation. No, we can't lose our salvation. Amen. Amen. Now, the Lord comes back and things are going to change. People better get right with God right now. All right, 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Right? That's 2 Timothy 3:12. "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It is going to happen if you live godly in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to hand this out. I'm talking about conspiracy theories. Everything on here has come to pass, just about, if not everything. This was given to me a few weeks ago, and I've been studying it. And I just want to kind of read through here and talk about some of the things that they planned. Everybody gets the top, just two. There's two pages. All right. This right here was read in Congress. This is on congressional record. It was read in the House of Representatives in 1963. And they're quoting a book called The Naked Communist. All right? And this was read in... If you look it up, it's in a congressional record. All right? And it was read in the House of Representatives of the United States of America. All right? And you can go look all this up. And... They told us this is what's coming. All right? And I'm just going to kind of briefly go through here because we're almost out of time, but I want you to take them and look at them. And I'm sorry that my notes are written all over it because I made notes on it on my iPad, and so they're on there now. So I just had to print it that way. I don't have the other copy of it. So you got my notes on it. All right? And so, again, you can go look this up. January 10th of 1963. Okay, and you can go down through all these things, and just about every one of them, if not all, have taken place. This was a plan. Now, I've been preaching on spiritual warfare during the morning services, and all this kind of goes together. But we're talking about suffering for Christ. There's some things that we're going to have to stand for. All right, and Christians as a whole, I think, have dropped their guard, and they've dropped their stand on some things years and years ago. That we were told that they were coming after, because they don't believe in our God, they don't believe in our book, and so there's things through here. All right, I'm just gonna just mention a couple of them, and you can look through them, and I'm sure there'll be lots of discussion we can have maybe during the break on it, because we're almost out of time. Number four, that permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation, that was a part of their plan. All right, and you see what's going on now with China. And some of these other countries with this trade. And China owns just about everything there is in America.
If it wasn't for China, there'd be no Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. Everything's made in China, including the tree now. All right, extension of long-term loans to Russian Soviet satellites. Man, America's so far in debt. Grant recognition of Red China and admission of Red China into the UN. All right. Set up East and West Germany as separate states. And, you know, this was 1963 and all these things have already taken place, and we can't go all over for sake of time. Number 11, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. Mm-hmm. Now, you say, well, that hasn't happened. Oh, we're very close.
Yeah.
I don't know that we won't see another presidential election in the United States.
Right.
This might be the last one we ever have.
Right.
Why? Because we'll be electing the president of the UN.
Right.
It could very well be.
Yeah.
All right, this could be the last one that we ever have. All right. You can go back and read these for sake of time. I got a note up there. The communists and the socialists have spent millions upon millions of dollars to buy local elections. So what does that mean? I'm talking about the mayor of a town.
Right.
I'm talking about the mayor of a city. That they've spent money for years to try to get those positions. So that years and years and years later, they could get all the way to the top. But they started down at the smallest level. I mean, mayors, judges, they have spent, this year I think there was more money spent on trying to elect local, like city and municipality positions than ever before. Yes, sir.
Probably fixing to see the most money that's ever been spent in any election spent on the runoff in Georgia.
You're real right.
That's the total control, and if they can get that, then they feel like they can do whatever they want.
Right.
So the position
but the money won't be from within Georgia.
Right. No, no, sir.
So 90% of it will be outside Georgia and even.
And probably other countries. That's right.
The position pays probably $150,000 a year. It'll probably be $10 million.
Oh no, this will go well over $10 million on that runoff.
And the thing is, there's so many people watching them. It's going to be harder to steal that one. Yeah. I mean, illegally, they're still going to try to do it. But you can look through all here, though. I mean, this is in 1963, and I'm not going to ask how old people in here were in 1963. That might have been around, but I wasn't here. So, eliminate all laws. Number 33 there. Eliminate all laws and procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. Brother Heiss has been preaching on a lot of this stuff when he preaches and teaches. Eliminate the House Committee and un-American activities. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. The FBI is a joke. It's a joke right now. It's part of the plan. I mean, this is real stuff. It's not something that's just made up this year. Infiltrate and gain control of more unions. Again, there's not time to go over all this. Man, there's so much discussion could be had. Infiltrate and gain control of big businesses. What about big media and big tech?
Yeah.
I mean, Google and Twitter and Facebook and all these places, they're all in cahoots together to control exactly what you see and what you don't see.
That's right.
That's true.
And there's some new companies coming out saying hey, they're going to be conservative. They'll cut them off whenever they want to cut them off.
Yep.
Sir? Oh, I skipped some, didn't I? I forgot.
But no,
there's the back page.
Gain control of key
decisions
and radio, TV, and budget.
That's right.
The problem is, that's no longer important. That TV's owned by them. That's known. But what's important now is all your social media. Look at what Facebook, Instagram, those are.
Yes, sir.
You go post something that's religious and or right-leaning, it'll get blocked.
Yeah.
Right.
Their independent fact verifiers will say, well, we can't find this to be true.
Right.
So it's extrapolated from what media they had in that time right through what we have.
That's right. I forgot to flip the page over. I just went to the next one. I forgot it was on the back side there. But there's a bunch on here. Do away with loyalty oaths. I mean, capture number 15, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. I think they've done that.
Yeah.
President Trump has just been a thorn in even the Republican side.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a thorn in their side. All right. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions.
Right.
By claiming their activities violate civil rights. 1963, they told us they're going to do this. And we act surprised. Oh, man, I can't believe they're doing this. Well, they told us they were going to do it. They wrote a book on it. Get control of the schools. They've done that. Of teachers' associations. Gain control of all student newspapers. Look at number 19. Use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack.
63, 1963.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, all these people marching with these signs, these are all students in schools.
Well, Malia told me yesterday that her history teacher, and she's been remote learning through Bankhead Elementary School, her history teacher is pushing them to be Democrats and to be to support Joe Biden. And that's elementary school history.
Wow.
Our public education system is indoctrination.
Yeah. Oh, it has been for a long time.
Yeah.
All right, just a couple more on here. I know we're out of time. Number 22. Now, I never thought this until I read this. Okay, have you ever walked through an airport and seen art?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm like, what is it? A twisted piece of metal? I mean, it says, I don't understand. I don't get it. Some people are sitting there, oh, it's so beautiful. All right, look, it's a communism. Look, number 22. continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculptures from parks and buildings and substitute with shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere, the parks.
Yep.
Just, there's just random pieces of metal. Just, I mean, it's got some fancy name to it.
I think it's 26.
Yeah, present homosexuality as normal, natural, and healthy. I mean, all these things. All right, so let me just give you the last one I really wanted to look at. Because there's, you can go read through all these. All right, look at number 40.
Yeah.
See that? Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Easy living. Just, yes, sir.
I'll make a quick comment and go with what?
Go ahead.
Just Maxton was saying on that, when I was in college, this has been 20 years ago, taking English, I had to just drop it because the professor was up there. He just, and I was older, but everybody there was like 18, not out of high school. And they were sitting there and she was just degrading traditions and Christmas and Thanksgiving with your family and why do you do this and why do you do that? And she was just tearing apart the family structure. And me and her butted heads many times. I had to drop the class, but I knew I was going to pass because, you know, it's all subjective on the grading on the literature. But that was being done in these young schools of much. I mean, these are professors, but everybody says, you know, and they've got respect. So they're just starting younger now.
That's right.
Well, first,
younger and young. I mean, that
college or university in America was a theological school. To teach preachers how to preach and how to...
Yeah, like all the Yale schools.
Look what it's turned into now.
Yeah.
I like... I'm not here, but I love to debate people online. And here's what I get to make them mad. I'll say, I want everybody to look at this example of another product of our government-funded educational system. They can't help it. They've been trained, indoctrinated, and they are saying all this stuff because it's all that's put into them.
That's all they know.
It's another product of our government-funded educational system.
Yep.
That's all it is. And you see these students coming out, and they act like we're different. You know, we believe in individual. No, they're all corporately the same.
Yep.
They look the same, they act the same, they dress the same, they talk the same. And it's all against God and against everything.
Look at number 41. What is it that was it Nancy Pelosi and all of them talked about? It takes a village to raise the children.
Yeah.
To raise children. Look at that number 41. Hillary Clinton. Yeah, number 41. Look at that. What brother Nick?
25.
There's so much on here. I'm telling you.
I was watching football last night and a commercial came on the TV and it started the F word and beat up the second.
Literally, you can hear what they're saying. It's like we are bombarded with it on every hand, on every turn.
Yep.
Just walking through a store and you just hear blaring speakers and it's all this rap.
You guys wonder why we try, we preach as hard as we do against some of this stuff. I mean, because we've got to stand. We've got to take a stand.
But you're the oddball if you do.
And you are, and you're mean, and you're cruel, and you don't love anybody, and you don't care. But we've got to take a stand. We've got these kids that are coming up that this is all they'll ever know if we don't take a stand, if we don't preach it. We have to. We've got to teach our grandkids and teach our families because this is not being preached and it's not being taught anymore at all. And I want to rule and reign with Christ, and He's worthy. We can't keep our minds on all this. We've got to keep our mind on Him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? All these things are happening. And we can get upset and mad about them and say they're against us, but it's really against Him. And our job is to please Him. So we need to keep our eyes on Him. If you keep it on all this stuff, you'll get discouraged. But keep it on Him, and there's a better day coming. So I'm excited about it. So, Brother Jim, will you dismiss us in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the service?
Father, thank you for being so good to us. Hey, bless us, Father. I do thank you for allowed us to be born here in this great country, honored in this great state of Alabama. Father, thank you for bringing us together as believers, Father, and to encourage us to fill it up, Father.